Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Our opening scripture comes from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut into the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Please stand and sing our call to worship, Christ our Redeemer medley.
Morning. Father, we come to you this day, on this special day, this day that begins the celebration of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. We come before you on this day with thankful and joyful hearts, because your love knows no bounds, no boundaries, no limits, no obstacles, even including our own obstacles that we bring. Nothing can thwart your loving kindness from us and from your kingdom. We kneel before you today in awe of the mystery of your faithfulness. We kneel before you with confession, acknowledging our shortcomings, but recognizing your greatness. We come to you this day celebrating and proclaiming the arrival of your Son Jesus in Jerusalem, but are reminded where this journey leads. Father, as we come to you this day, may our hearts focus on you. And we are thankful for your presence this day. We lift this prayer to your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. I want to welcome you to First Baptist Church of Elon this Palm Sunday morning. We want to especially welcome those guests that are with us today. If you have a chance, fill out one of the visitors' cards that are located in your pew in front of you, and you can drop it in the offering plate as they're passed around later on in the service. We're excited about the opportunity that today brings, this week brings, and especially in the coming weeks that our church has. As you leave this morning, I encourage you to stop by the table out there that has information about the churches left the building come up in April. There are sign-up sheets there for the mission projects, for the t-shirts, many opportunities out there. If you have any questions, you can find a member of the formations team out there who will be assisting you this morning. We are excited about this day. We're excited about the opportunity to praise and worship and reflect this day. Let us worship our Lord and Savior this morning.
God, He is King. We believe He is God, He is King. us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, and we give thanks for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We come now to return a portion through our tithes and offering. Please use these to further your kingdom. We ask this through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Mark's gospel goes on to tell us, immediately while they were still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him were a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priest and the scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. All of them deserted him and fled." We want to offer you a moment in silence now, a time of confession between you and the Lord, to consider, are there ways in which we in our lives have abandoned him with things get difficult, or when being a disciple becomes just too challenging, or when the situation is just too tempting? Are there those moments where we have betrayed Christ with a kiss? Would you bow your heads and use this opportunity for silent confession, and then I'll close in prayer. Oh God, too often we greet you with one breath and forget about you in the next. Too often we greet you with a kiss, only to turn around and be selfish, self-centered and self-focused. Oh Lord, too often we fall and fail you when the going gets difficult, when life becomes burdensome, when temptation is just all too tempting. We do not stand, O God, by our own strength before your throne. We stand in confidence, in the confidence given to us by your grace, your mercy, your love. And we believe your word, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. And we believe your word, O Lord, when it says that if we confess, you who are faithful and just will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In this we hope, we believe, we live. Amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live in breath and freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven. Back with the living, I'm just a sinner.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice, in the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
By his wounds, we are healed. Allow me to tell you the story of how he received these very wounds that we sing of and hear of every year. The soldiers took charge of Jesus and they arrested him. And they stripped him of his clothing. He was not wearing a modest loincloth like we see in the movies and in passion plays. He was bare, his humanity exposed to the world. We're told that they cast lots for his garments at his feet, at the foot of the cross. After they stripped him naked, they continued to flog him with a cat of nine tails. And they beat him until he bled, until his stripes were red with blood. But that wasn't enough for these soldiers. To add insult to injury, they began to mock him, and they took a bit of purple, the color of royalty, and they draped it over Jesus' beaten body. And then, the infamous symbol, they made a crown out of thorns, and they pressed this crown into his skull. And they mocked him, saying, "Hail, Jesus, King of the Jews." But then this is when the story gets even darker. We're told that at this point, they laid his cross on his back. And they forced him to carry it uphill out of the city, up the hill to the place called Golgotha, the skull. And it was there that the Romans showed their expertise. They prided themselves in their ability to execute. It's a sick fascination of theirs. And so they took the nails and they pierced his wrists. The Romans considered the wrist part of the hand, and they would catch it just there on that bone so it could hold the body, and then again in the feet, and then drop the cross into its hole. his body broken. We are told by the historians that you don't die of bleeding to death on the cross, but of asphyxiation. You suffocate slowly. And as time would give way, Jesus did not disappoint his Roman captors, and he died. And the word tells us that when he died, the sky and all of creation went black. And that Jesus, at last, died. And at the moment of his death, not only did the sky turn black, but we are told the curtain in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus, Messiah, Savior of the universe.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for our many blessings. As we sit in the comfort of your house, it's so easy to lose sight of the sacrifice that you made to bring us here today and to one day bring us home to you. But we pray, Lord, that you would make us mindful of the fact that our salvation was not free, that a sacrifice had to be made, and that all the world and all the wealth in it was not enough to pay the price for our sins. Only the life of your Son, your final Passover lamb, was sufficient to cover our debt. It is hard to imagine what Jesus must have thought as he hung on the cross to suffer for sins that he never committed. But we know that he allowed his life to be taken. He could have passed the cup of suffering to us. We are thankful Jesus chose to lay down his life on a cross, and we pray that you would fill us with love for our fellow man, that same kind of love that he showed for each of his children that day and every day since. As we approach Easter, we are reminded that the story did not end at the cross or in the tomb. We remember those bleak symbols because they led to the resurrection, without which none of us would be here today. We are thankful that death could not keep Jesus in the grave, that there is victory in Jesus and eternal life for all who accept the gift of his salvation and believe that he paid it all. For it is in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus was on the cross, he uttered seven final statements. They are precious and fragile. They are beautiful and mysterious. We call these seven statements the seven last words of Christ. And here on our altar today, the seven red candles each stand for one of those words. Tonight, we'll, in Bible study, take a detailed look at these seven final statements. But this morning, David's simply going to read each of those statements. And after each statement is read, the candle will be extinguished. It is the opposite of the Advent wreath. In Advent, we are remembering the light is coming into the world, but in Holy Week, we remember the light also was going out of Jesus' life on the cross. After the candle is extinguished, there will be a moment of silence for you to reflect on the meaning, the possibilities of this statement for your life, or how it might challenge you. As we hear the seven final statements of Christ in a moment, would you be open to the Spirit's voice whispering to you the truth, the life?
"Here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother."
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, Spirit, till the work on earth.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning in verse 38. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw this, that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." Has gone out. Christ has died. But as we remember from the words of the song, that Christ was born in Bethlehem, period. Christ died on the skull, period. Christ was placed into the tomb, comma. Would you pray with me? O Lord, in this coming week, Holy Week, we pray that we would reflect and find moments of silence to consider what we have heard and what we have seen here today. It is hard to sit in silence in the dark. Certainly it was hard for Jesus to sit in the darkness throughout those dark and quiet moments. Lord, we pray that this would be a time of growth. We don't come to you because we expect you to make us feel dirty or guilty or filled with shame, but our hearts are filled instead with compassion, with a wondrous and mysterious joy, and filled with your love as well. So, Lord, we pray that as we go from this place, we would come again on Resurrection Sunday to hear the good news. The stone is rolled away. Keep us, Lord, until that moment of exuberant worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We close our service today the singing of a hymn, "Were You There?" verses 1, 2, and 3. After the song is sung, we ask that you leave in silence and in darkness until we can come here again next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and celebrate the light of Christ. He is not dead. He is alive. Would you please stand if you are able?